Today's guest has been on a couple of times before, Floyd Wicks. He was formerly a VP as well as president and CEO of American States Water Company. And he's got a degree in civil engineering, a master's in water resources engineering. His professional career with water and in the water industry spans 35 years. Back in 2005, he was instrumental in gathering support for the passage of the Paul Simon Water for the Poor Act and its subsequent $300 million funding in 2008 by the United States Congress. Provides funds, nonprofits, help third world communities develop sustainable drinking water. In 2016, he was elected to the board of directors of the Montecito Water District. And this is an old bio, currently serving a four-year term. I assume he got reelected because he's still on the board. In 2017, he became a member of Aqua Via North America, part of a UK company bringing new membrane technology. And then most recently, and we're going to talk a little bit about this, Seawell LLC, water supplies through ocean desalination buoys. Floyd and his wife made their home in Montecito since 1992. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Floyd Wicks.
Thank you, Mark. Good to be back as well. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, you're just a wealth of information. And so let me ask something. You and your wife, when you get up in the morning, instead of her bringing coffee in bed, do you bring her a cup of water?
No, that doesn't happen too often. But nonetheless, we're out. Actually, she's out every morning since we moved in here. Our son was in fifth grade when we moved here, and she picks up trash along South Jameson Lane and has done that ever since. He's now 39 years old, so she's been at this a long, long time. But I do get her water throughout the day, and it's a good way to keep alive, that's for sure.
Well, what a nice not a nice thing to do for the community, and that's I'll have to drive by and see if it reminds that commercial we had where that American Native Indian was standing by the freeway. Remember that one? Some trash kind of was thrown at him or nearby. I don't remember what that commercial was for, but well, good for her. So, God, you've done so much. So, in 2017, you were, so 21, you got reelected to the Montecito Water Board?
Yes, we actually did not have any competition. I say we because a colleague of mine, Tobe Plow, and I ran together in 2016. And in 2020, we then did not have any competition. So we didn't end up even being on the ballot because of that.
Well, people are afraid of you, Floyd. You're very intimidating.
I don't know. I don't think so. But nonetheless, we're really happy to be back on the board. And I think we're making some progress here in Montecito on water supply reliability, frankly, is the name of the game.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that later. And the agreement with Santa Barbara's desal plant and Montecito, but I wanted to start the conversation about these floating desalination devices. I know you're doing some consulting work, and there's something going on. Is it Vandenberg?
Yes, the company's name. I've been really in an advisory capacity with them for about 2 years now. It's Seawell, one word. And they're located right here in Santa Barbara. The fellow who founded the company also founded a company by the name of EcoMerit Technologies. EcoMerit is one word. Jim Dielson. Jim has been in that environment of renewables for decades. My understanding, he's actually known as the father of wind power. He had two different companies generating power utilizing wind. The latest company was Clipper Wind Power, and he ended up selling that company. But you'll see these large windmill devices all over California. Those are actually his windmills.
Did he start the company Breaking Wind?
No, I don't know about that one.
That was a bad joke, for it.
I won't follow up on that.
How do you spell Jim Dielsen? How do you spell Dielsen?
Dielsen is D-E-H-L-E-S-E-N.
D-E-A-H?
Yeah, as D-E-H.
Oh.
L-S-E-N. I think I had another E
Dielsen,
in there.
D-E-H. Dielsen. I mean, because it's kind of funny, his name Dielsen sounds like desalination.
Oh, it does. I never really thought about that.
That's bizarre.
That's a great segue, though. I like that.
And so his current company went from wind and EcoMerit. Is that related to the wind, or is that...
Yes, they're all under kind of like the umbrella. I look at EcoMerit as sort of a, I would say, kind of a, not a holding company, but one that actually creates new companies, sort of an incubator type of a process. Another one, for example, is a company that where they're developing a power source by using floating turbines. So it's a tidal turbine operation. They actually were able to get close to a $5 million grant from the Federal Department of Energy on that project. And they're planning to put one of the devices in the water this coming winter in Scotland. So if you can visualize this, if you have a floating tidal turbine generating power, it could literally drive one of the buoys that's manufacturing treated water to bring ashore for various communities.
And to remind everybody, my guest, Floyd Wicks, water maven, and we're going to be talking about these floating desalination devices, and now you're bringing in these floating turbines that could actually power them, which makes a lot of sense. Now, floating turbines, you mentioned wind power, that Jim Dielsen was part of a windmill power. So a turbine is just a different shaped wind power?
You might say that. It's, of course, all underwater. You get the action from the tidal tides going up and down, of course. And I'm not that well versed on that side of the business, but it's very intriguing to me what's happened just in the last 5 to 10 years on renewable energy. You know, there's wind, there's hydro energy, of course, which is hard to say is renewable, especially if you have a tremendous amount of changing weather conditions. They're also right now, Hoover Dam is getting really close to the point where they cannot generate energy from hydropower because the lake level is getting really down.
Mm.
So there's a lot of changes going on. If you can capture that energy from the ocean, another project that Jim is working on a company called Aquantis is actually one directional flow currents, like the Gulf Current that goes around the south coast of Florida and then up the east coast of this country. There's a tremendous amount of energy in those currents, and that's another source of renewable energy that he's pursuing.
Wow. You have AC, DC, and now WC, water current. When you mention floating turbines, in my mind, I know about windmills, and so I just figured there was some kind of windmill device out on the water, and now you're telling me these turbines are actually underwater and working with the current, just phenomenal. And because, of course, the windmills, which is a great idea, but then some people, even really pro-ecology as you can get, worried about all the windmills killing a lot of birds. And then I imagine the floating turbines are going to, underwater, kill a lot of fish. So this company, Seawell, it wants floating or desal buoys, floating desal plants. How do they work, and why is that? What advantages does that give over a land-based desal plant?
Well, great questions as usual. I think the main thing, as I see it from an engineering point of view, you're able to distribute water supply where it's needed along the coast, as opposed to building these huge industrial-looking treatment plants on the shore and then having a tremendous amount of brine discharging from those plants going at the very bottom of the ocean. These folks at Seawell have really spent a lot of time and effort in designing around the environment. And I say that because their whole business, EcoMerit, speaks very strongly of environmental justice, if you want to call it that. But to the extent, I'll just talk about the brine issue, for example, and backing up 1 second, the buoys are more than what you might consider a typical buoy out in the water. These are 7 meters in diameter at the top, which is roughly 22 to 23 feet in diameter, and the depth is about 14 meters, so roughly 45 feet in depth. But it's pretty much like the iceberg effect, where you'll only see about 10% of the entire buoy dimension above water. So, but and inside that cylindrical vessel is a reverse osmosis treatment plant. So the treatment technology is not new. It's not something that's a risky technology that you don't know whether it's going to work or not. Reverse osmosis has been around since the 1970s. So to the extent the risk factor is really more to consider whether this concept has merit or not, and Vandenberg Space Force base personnel and the commander out there really like the concept a lot. They're working with Seawell directly. I'm involved in that as well. And they want, essentially what they want is a reliable source of water.
My guest is Floyd Wicks. He's currently on the Montecito Water Board, but that's kind of small potatoes to his 35 years in the water business. And he's helping and consulting a little bit on a company called Seawell. We're talking about these floating desalination devices. So, boy, a lot of questions. I was going to mention, and we'll wait on this, the brine discharge, because I know everyone thinks, you know, God, desalination is great. But then, of course, again, another downside, you know, you kill birds with windmills and brine discharge. They're worried about the brine discharge. If you have these floating devices, how far from shore are they, and does that help? Does that mitigate the brine discharge? Does it disperse it more? Is it an advantage over land-based desal plant?
Yeah, yes, there's tremendous advantages. I'll mention a couple. First of all, I'm just kind of laying the foundation for that. Many people don't realize that brine may sound bad, but it's basically salt. And the ocean content of salt is only 3.5%. In other words, it has 96.5% pure water and only 3.5% salt. And a typical reverse osmosis treatment process, if you want to treat 1 million gallons a day, you need to bring 2 million gallons a day of ocean water, typically into shore to a plant. Half of that gets treated and produced and delivered internally to the water system. The other half goes right back out as brine. So the brine goes from 3.5% salt ocean content to only 7% brine content. It's still 93.5% pure water. But there's an environmental concern because a treatment plant on the shore discharges in typically one point, and it's at the very bottom of the ocean. Compare that to the Seawell unit that has a floating discharge below the surface of the water, and it rotates a full 180 degrees is the way they're planning to do this. So it discharges in, I'm going to say 4 to 5 feet below the surface of the water. Then it has a total depth of about 70 feet to traverse downward and mix with the water, the currents, and so on. It's fully dispersed by the time it's less than a third down. They've done some work with UCSB on that point, and we're addressing that very closely with the Coastal Commission people and the environmentalists that we've spoken to date seem to really like that approach far better than the point source discharge at the bottom.
How far out from shore are these sea whale buoys?
Yeah, that is a great question as well. It's going to vary quite a bit, but around Vandenberg, it's going to be only about 3/4 of a mile to a mile. And we need to get to a depth of about 70 to 75 feet, because that allows then the ocean, the buoy itself, 45 feet in depth. It'll have room at the bottom where the intake is to bring that water in, and it'll be fresh water, fresh to the extent it's ocean water, but it's coming up through the bottom of the unit where the intake screens are.
Wow. And, you know, it's funny, it's 3/4 to 1 mile. You kind of made it sound like that's not very far, and in my mind, it seems like it's far. And that's how far you have to go out to just find 75 feet of ocean depth?
Yes.
That's insane. I would have thought the ocean would have been much deeper going out a mile from shore. What if you go out 2 miles? How deep does... Well, that's a crazy question for you. You probably don't know that.
Really, it depends where you are. As you know, of course, Monterey Bay, for example, all you need to go out is maybe 100 feet, and you're down almost a half mile. It's really, a tremendous gorge up there, the Monterey Bay area where the aquarium is and so on. But along the coast where Vandenberg is, it's fairly consistent, sloping all the way, you know, from shore out. So it varies substantially. I was surprised, and, you know, I never really got into the nitty-gritty of it until working with Seawell. But it's, for example, the Gulf of Mexico, you have to go out maybe as long or far as 40 or 4 miles or even more in some cases to get to that depth.
To get to 75 feet?
Yeah.
Wow. My guest is Floyd Wicks. This is amazing. We're talking about desalination plants and comparing this new company Seawell floating buoy desal plants versus on the shore. What do they do with the water they generate? Do you got a, you're not going to have pipes going out. Do you have a large ship to get the water, a tanker?
No, actually, you hit it on the nail with regard to a pipe underwater. It'll be along the bottom of the ocean, but the construction actually starts on shore, and it'll be a horizontal direct drilling process beneath the sand all the way through the surf zone. You won't even have any trenching. It'll be through a drilling process. And in the case of Vandenberg, as an example, and none of this is final with Vandenberg, I want to stress that, this is going to be our first pilot in the water. But it'll be, in the end, they want really three buoys there, because you can aggregate the volume of capacity for each buoy. They're about 950 acre-feet per year capacity. So the base wants more than that. So three buoys would be sufficient for the base. There may be a fourth one, but at least three. And then you can aggregate that volume and bring it ashore in one pipeline.
And so you got a mile of pipeline. You start from the shore underground. Does it eventually surface and lay on the floor of the ocean?
Yes. Once you're past the surf zone, it'll be on piers, probably some kind of concrete pier process on the ocean floor.
Too bad my buddy Laddie Handelman wasn't around in his heyday. He was doing deep sea diving and oil well construction of pipes underneath. Then, let's take a break My guest is Floyd Wicks, and we're talking about desalination. I have some more follow-up questions about the process itself. I know as much as, you come up with one idea and there's always some kind of downside. I want to circle back to what you were talking about with the brine and the water and this unique idea with these buoys. I didn't know. Yeah, I thought there'd be a tanker out there. Maybe that's more expensive than once you lay pipe, you're done. So obviously a tanker floating with employees and all that would be a fortune. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com, 805-452-2428-452-CHAT. My guest is Floyd Wicks. He's currently on the Montecito Water Board, but he's had 35 years of experience working in water. And I think he even has his own bathtub. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.